Welcome back to Ed Says here on the Talk of Connecticut. Joining us now is senior contributor Keith Reed, live from Charlottesville. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Hey, Ed. What's going on?
Oh, you know, how you like the new title I bestowed upon you?
I'll take any title you give me, buddy. I trust you.
Now, you are in Charlottesville. Are you down there writing a piece?
I am, as a matter of fact. I'm working with a project of international journalism organizations. The website is 100daysinappalachia.com. And they called me on Saturday when all of this stuff started happening and asked if I wanted to make the drive to Virginia to come here and actually talk to people on the ground so that we wouldn't have, you know, there's been a lot of bloviating. There's a, you know, almost everybody who you see on network television who are talking about what's going on in Charlottesville, very few of them have actually been to Charlottesville to see, you know, to talk to people, to see what's going on. So I wanted to come here and actually meet people and see people and find out what the situation was on the ground.
So without spoiling your work, because I want people to read it, what are people saying?
You know, it's very, what's really interesting about this is the fact that very few of the people who were involved in the violence that happened over the weekend were from Charlottesville. Very few of those people. Most people in Charlottesville were surprised at the response to what happened. You have to understand that this entire controversy started. Now it's become a larger discussion about racism, about neo-Nazi white supremacy, the political context, the ties to Donald Trump's administration. But this was really a very local issue with a tangential tie to a national one, which is there was a petition that was started here to remove a monument to the Confederate General Robert E. Lee. The city council made a decision in a 3-2 vote to remove that statue. And white supremacist groups from around the country picked up on that decision and decided to use it as a catalyst to have this, this rally and to use Charlottesville as the backdrop for what they were, for their movement. And that's what brought all of this here. But it was really a local issue about a statue in a small park where, for the most part, homeless people sleep and, you know, people going back and forth to lunch at you know, during the lunch hour, walk through this park every day. And that's what brought what ended up in this big, big issue.
So, and that's the thing I didn't think people need to realize is the vast majority of those who were there protesting the statue or the heritage that they believe it symbolizes weren't from Charlottesville. This was voted on by the council and they made the decision. And these people are mad about something that really doesn't affect them directly.
Well, but they believe it affects them because there's this idea, this perverse idea in you know, I hate to use the term white nationalism, to call it what it is, in circles of you know, white supremacist racist organizations, that says that if you remove a statue to or a monument to the Confederacy, which, let's be clear, the Confederacy was an attempt to was an uprising against the United States. It was not a patriotic
right, and that's
whatsoever.
What I try to explain to all these patriots that call me. And I made the distinction between a monument and a memorial. I don't think having a memorial that says, you know, soldiers died here, this happened, this was a spot, okay. But having so I'm a native of Virginia. I spent 20 years in Northern Virginia, 10 in Richmond, Virginia, and I've been to Charlottesville, not recently, obviously. So I know Monument Ave is now a focus in Richmond, as there was a protest plan there, but they or a rally, and they said, never mind, we're not going to do it. But Monument Avenue is, it's gross to me, because these are men, as you said, they revolted against the United States of America. Whether you think it was states' rights, which some people will argue, or you think it was just about owning people in order to further their industry, which it was, they still went about it by seceding and start declaring war.
I spoke to yesterday, one of my interviews, one of the most interesting people I talked to yesterday was a black man who had driven here 2 hours from West Virginia, and he brought his 6-year-old grandson with him. And I saw them taking a selfie in front of the statue of Robert E. Lee. And I said, why did you do that? And he said, because I wanted my grandson to understand that what happened here over the weekend was a game changer. So what do you mean by that? And he went through this whole process of explaining. He's a Gulf War veteran. The first Gulf War. He spent 9 years in the Army, and he said, even as black man, I understood where people were coming from when they told me they saw the Confederate flag as a part of their heritage, because I was a soldier. And if you fly that flag and you have some attachment to it because your family, because you're descendants of people who fought in a war, I can understand that because I was a soldier. He said, but what people have taken and turned that into, instead of looking at the heritage and saying that this is something that my family was a part of, people have taken it and gone to an extreme, and it ended in the death of a person who was really a patriot. It ended in the death of a 32-year-old woman who was there to defend the rights of citizens of the United States in peaceful protest. And that, he thought, was going to wind up being the dividing line. That death and everything that happened here in Charlottesville was going to be a seminal moment in the history, he believed, of the United States, to the extent that it's going to change things for his grandson. And so he brought his grandson here to take a picture in front of that monument that is almost certainly, there's no chance that it's going to be saved now. It's going to be removed. And you've seen monuments. You saw in Lexington, Kentucky yesterday, the mayor saying that they're going to expedite the process of removing the Confederate monument. And you saw also in North Carolina, I think at Durham, some protesters actually took it upon themselves and pulled down the Confederate monument. What happened here over the weekend was counterproductive to any racist white supremacist organization and their aims, because it just hastened the demise of all of these monuments to the Confederate insurgency around the country.
And what was that website again?
It's going to be 100daysinappalachia.com. You'll see that. We have media partners with other news organizations, including The Guardian over in London, and several other news organizations. It's a project that's out of West Virginia University.
So let's take a second and talk about that region, because for a lot of people, it's hard to describe what's going on there, because as I understand it, it's sheer poverty. I mean, it's below poverty, if you can describe it as that, for a lot of people in the Appalachian region. So what is the mindset there, and am I right describing it like that?
So you're wrong in describing it as it refers to Charlottesville, right? So Charlottesville is sort of the flip side of that coin. Technically, you're in Appalachia. You're in the middle of Virginia. You're right along the Blue Ridge Mountains. You know, when you drive into here, either down 81 or across I-64, you see a lot of what you're talking about, these kind of towns that dot the landscape as you drive towards Charlottesville. Charlottesville is the opposite of that. Charlottesville is about 10 square miles. It's got about 50,000 people or so. The household income here is above the national median. The level of education here is above the national median. The largest employers of people are either government, medical, or higher education, because of the University of Virginia. So most people here, or lots of people here, are college educated. They have household incomes that are, you know, 50K, 60K or above, and they work for a hospital, or they work at UVA, or they're students at UVA, or they work in government. I don't know what the crime statistics are in here in Charlottesville, but I would imagine that they're lower than in many other parts of, you know, this region. So Charlottesville is kind of an odd place for this to all have happened.
Well, it's an oasis, really, as you described it.
It really is, and even racially. I mean, you see you know, Charlottesville has a black police chief, and they've got black vice mayor. I mean, it's got significant political representation among African Americans. I literally walked into a Chinese restaurant where there were, you know, two women speaking Chinese to each other, and then a Hispanic woman walked in who spoke Spanish, and the women switched from Chinese to Spanish to greet her, and then to English to talk to me. I mean, this is where I'm going. This is where they decided to have a white supremacist rally. It's like, that's the, it almost makes no sense once you get here and you see what the town is like. Now, in reality, I've been here for 2 days. And so I don't pretend to have a comprehensive understanding of what it's like to live here. I don't know what it's like to live here if you're, for example, you know, poor in African American or poor immigrant, and you don't have access to UVA or some of the medical institutions. And that might be a completely different story. But at first glance, this is not coal country where you would expect to see, you know, some of those things. Support for Donald Trump was actually very low here. Hillary Clinton won this county, handily. You know, the mayor here is a Democratic, activist. I mean, this town in and of itself is not Trump country, either in terms of the election results or in terms of what that means in a larger cultural lexicon.
All right, but outside of that, the region of the Appalachian, outside of, say, Charlottesville, when you guys are doing this 100 Days project, have you heard from anybody else or what they're facing there? Because as you mentioned, coal country and all these other places, there's a level of resentment. I don't know if it necessarily ties into, you know, this Charlottesville discussion, but when you hear people being interviewed there, you know, Trump promised the return of coal jobs, but I think the reality of that for a lot of people is totally different than what they're being promised. But what else is there for them?
So that's an interesting question. This is actually my first reporting project with 100 Days in Appalachia, so I haven't done lots of the research on that. But anecdotally, I can tell you, you know, again, going back to the gentleman that I spoke to, his grandson here, we talked about, because he lives in West Virginia, and he said, you know, I'm African American. Most of my neighbors are white. Lots of them voted for Donald Trump, and coal was the issue. And he said, I have tried to convince them that they were voting against their interests, that they were voting against the health care that they need, that they were voting against their actual economic interests, because the coal jobs have not come back. You still haven't gone back to work, and you continue to support this guy. And he said, what's happened just in the last 48 hours is that my neighbors now don't want to be associated with the thing that they were so eager to be associated with, because they now don't want to appear to be supportive of blatant racist, and they don't want to, and they definitely don't want anything to do with the death of a young woman over an argument about a statue. So I think that'll kind of play out, and I'm trying to address some of that in my reporting, although I don't know how close I'm really going to get to that in the few more days that I have to be here. But I think it does bear watching.
Keith Reed, senior correspondent for the show, Ed says, his new title, it's an unpaid position, but it's always a pleasure to have you on, Keith. Please keep me updated on what you're doing, when that piece is published. And it's, 100 days?
100 days in Appalachia. And don't ever call me unpaid. You pay me in friendship a billion times over, Ed.
Well, enjoy my home state. Tell everybody there I said hello. I'm sure none of them remember me, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, you're unforgettable. What are you talking about?
Always a pleasure, Keith. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.